Amen. Okay, let's jump right in. Let's jump right in. 2 Kings. Sit. 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I'll make a couple quick announcements. Make a couple quick announcements before I start. First of all, let me mention to all of our seniors who are graduating this year, or if you are going to finish your degree before next year, so either summertime or December, senior day is next week, and any senior who is graduating this year or who will be finishing their degree and not be here next year's spring semester is eligible to go on senior day. You need to sign up for it ahead of time. The deadline to sign up will be this Thursday at 4 p.m. Those of you who are graduating this year will give you an opportunity to do that at the meeting that we're going to have after chapel. Senior Day is a great day, all day long of activities and food and fun. And it's a minimal cost for the seniors. It's only $15 for seniors to go. That covers everything for the whole day. And then if you'd like to bring a guest, you can bring a guest. Guests are a little bit more expensive. The guest is $80. And that covers everything for them as well. But Senior Day is Tuesday. The last day to sign up for that will be this Thursday. Then I do want to mention just very briefly, this past weekend I had the opportunity to be at Friendship Baptist Church in Eva Beach, Hawaii. And I'd never been there before. And of course, we all have visions of what Hawaii is really like. But it's not at all what we think it's like. We had the opportunity to minister to about 80 teenagers for 4 days at Friendship Baptist Church. Pastor James Reed is a graduate of our college. Him and his wife Marilyn have served there now for 20 years, and it truly is a remarkable ministry. They have, it's hard to even put it into words what the Lord has used them to do there in Eva Beach, about 15 minutes outside of Honolulu. They have a Christian school of 300 students, and they have a brand new church auditorium building that's about 2 years old, and they have plans to expand their properties, and it's truly an amazing, amazing work. But I promised Pastor Reed that I would mention in chapel today that they need teachers for their Christian school. And so I will tell you, it's not a vacation. It's work and it's ministry. But it's serious business reaching the folks there on the Hawaiian island of Oahu for the Lord. It truly is a melting pot. In the time that I was there interacting with the folks in that church, I met 2 Hawaiians. Everybody else there was from other countries, the Philippines, Thailand, the United States, the mainland, all over the world comes there to that area, and Pastor Reed has a unique ministry reaching them, and he specifically needs a teacher for his preschool this next fall for the 3- and 4-year-olds. If any of you are interested, probably a lady would be better, but he also needs a music man. So guys, if you're interested in that, I'd love to connect you with Pastor and Mrs. Reed. If you have any questions, you could talk to me or Brother Jesse Dominguez. Can connect you with them as well, but I promised him that I would mention that in chapel today, and I would sincerely encourage you to consider whether or not that would be something for you. It's an amazing place. It's like being on the mission field with all the comforts of home in reality, and it's an amazing, beautiful place and amazing people, so I wanted to at least mention that to you. 2 Kings chapter number 5, we're going to read only one verse today. And I'm going to give you some thoughts out of this one verse, and I will warn you. I'm going to give you fair warning. I have not slept in 36 hours. So I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth today. I don't know. We're just trusting the Lord for that, okay? My flight got in this morning, landed at Midway at about 2:15 this morning. I got home at 3:45. My daughter left on her senior trip at 5 o'clock, And so literally I woke up yesterday morning, or excuse me, Sunday morning, or Monday morning, all runs together. Monday morning at 6 a.m. in Honolulu, and I have not slept since, other than maybe about 45 minutes on the plane in between screaming children. 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Here's a pretty famous character in junior church Bible songs. There was a man I know. He was a leper, white as snow. He went to the river to dip himself. And his name was Naaman. Naaman was a pretty unique character in the Bible. You know, we know of him from the song. You know, he took one dip and he dippy, dippy, dip. And we know of Naaman from the little song that we sing on the bus or in junior church, right? Let's look a little bit deeper into Naaman's life for just a few minutes this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. Boy, that first phrase, that really says a lot about Naaman. Captain of the host of the king of Syria. What that tells me is that Naaman was a leader. Naaman was a man who his boss, the king, would trust him enough to make him the captain of the host, like the general, the leader of the host of the king of Syria. And you know those guys and people who were the host, they followed him. I don't know if Naaman was an incredibly dynamic personality like me. I don't know if Naaman was brilliant or smart or what he was, but I do know this. I know that Naaman was a leader enough that the king of Syria would make him the captain of the hosts for the kingdom. That means that Naaman had people who were at his beck and call. If Naaman said jump, they said how high. If Naaman said go, they said how far. If Naaman said run, they said how fast. If Naaman said clean it up, they cleaned it up. If Naaman said put it away, they put it away. If Naaman said we're going to war, they went to war. If Naaman said we're going to bed, they went to bed. Whatever Naaman said, he was the boss. He was the leader, the captain, the leader. You know, John Maxwell said, a man with no followers, or a leader with no followers, is simply a man taking a walk. When I think about Naaman, I think about the followers, the people that followed Naaman. What kind of a life would Naaman have to have lived in order to have the king's favor, to be made the captain of the host, and then for the host to be willing to follow him? He was probably a pretty decent guy. He was probably a guy who invested in people. He was probably a guy who looked out for the king's interests. He was probably a guy who looked out for the kingdom's interests. Naaman was a leader, captain of the host of king of Syria. Look at the next statement. He was a great man with his master. Not only was Naaman a leader, a good leader, Naaman was a good follower. He was a great man with his master. You know, we've heard the statement and the saying, everything rises and falls on leadership. Dr. Lee Robertson said that, and I agree with him to a certain extent, but a lot of the rising and falling depends on the fellowship. Because again, a leader with no followers is just a man taking a walk. Naaman was not only a leader of the people who were following him, but he was a good follower to the person who was leading him. You know, all of us in life, every single one of us in this room, no matter what God has called you to do or where you're going to go or what you're going to be or what you want to do when you grow up someday, every single one of us are going to be a leader in some capacity. Maybe you're only leading yourself. Maybe you're leading a family. Maybe you'll be leading a classroom or a church or a ministry somewhere. Maybe you'll be leading a team or a business. Whatever area God has for you, every single one of us are a leader because somebody's always watching us and somebody's always wanting to follow or mimic what we do. And so all of us are leaders, but we're all also followers. We have to determine who we're going to follow. In some cases, we don't have a choice. You know, you sometimes just the authority structure of whatever institution or organization you're part of determines who your leaders are, but you determine what kind of follower you are. And sometimes your leader's going to be a jerk. I've had some. But that shouldn't determine whether or not I'm willing to follow. I don't know if the king of Syria was a jerk or not. But I know this, Naaman was a great man with his master. His master looked at him and said, he's a great man. If your boss at McDonald's or Estes or Chick-fil-A or wherever you work, the dining hall, looked at you, would they say, he's a great man. She's a great lady. She's a hard worker, he's diligent, he's honest, he's trustworthy, he's faithful. That's how you become a good follower. So here's Naaman. Naaman was not only a great leader, Naaman was a great follower. And the next thing, he was honorable. Naaman was an honorable man. He was somebody that if he said it, you could mark it down, it was going to be done. Naaman had integrity. Naaman was trustworthy. If Naaman said he was going to be there, he was there. If Naaman said he was going to do it, he did it. If Naaman said yes, he meant yes. If Naaman said no, he meant no. If Naaman said I'll go, Naaman would go. He was honorable. He was somebody you could take it to the bank. He was going to do what he said he would do. Are you? I promise, Brother Zarsky, I will make a payment this month. He was a great leader. He was a great follower. He was honorable. Because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Could you imagine? The deliverance of an entire nation because of one man? Because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman was the kind of guy that set his own self aside and served others. He set his own desires aside and served his master and served his followers. Naaman was an honorable man who was trustworthy and hardworking. He was the captain of the host. He was a good man, a great man with his master. He was honorable, and because of him, because of Naaman, an entire nation was delivered. That's what the Bible says. He was also a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor. Valor means great courage in the face of danger. Great courage in the face of danger. Can you imagine what it must have been like back then to stand up for something and deliver a nation? It must have been pretty hard. I'm sure he got attacked on social media. I'm sure the media had a field day with him standing and doing what he was told to do and being a servant, following what his master told him to do. I'll bet the blogs ate him alive. But he was a mighty man in valor. It didn't matter the obstacle. It didn't matter the challenges. It didn't matter the stigma. It didn't matter the criticism. It didn't matter the difficulties. Naaman stood strong, great courage in the face of danger. He was a leader. He was a follower. He was honest. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor. And because of him, the nation of Syria The Lord delivered Syria because of him. Oh, he was also a leper. I think it's very interesting how that statement is the last one in the verse, Brother Bushy. Leprosy, that wasn't a joke. Like, literally, his skin was falling off of him. His body was attacking itself and sores and pus and agony and pain. But that's not how Naaman identified himself. Naaman was a leader. He was a follower. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor. An entire nation was delivered because of him. Oh, and by the way, he also was a leper. Naaman didn't let his leprosy stop him from doing something great. Can you imagine? I mean, we get a little sniffle and we get infirmarized. I got a little headache, so Brother Bus Captain, I'm going to have to miss this weekend because I got a little headache this morning. I'm a little tired, and so I'm going to have to call off sick work today, but I'll be in the rec center tonight, don't you worry. I'll be at volleyball on Thursday night, but I'm a little sick. There's no excuse for excuses. I mean, if anybody had a reason to make an excuse, it's Naaman. I mean, like, parts of his body were falling off. But he delivered a nation. His skin was literally sliding off of his bones. But he was a great man with his master. You know what that means? He showed up to work every day. He did what he was told, and he did it well. He did it so well that his master made him the captain of the host. So he was not only a great follower, but a great leader. He was honorable. The master knew that if Naaman said he was going to be there, he would be there. He didn't have to wonder, it's five after, are they going to show up today? They didn't have to worry or wonder if Naaman was going to be where he said he was going to be because he was honorable. Naaman had the greatest excuse of all time. I'm sorry, I can't come to work today. My arm fell off. But he didn't. An entire nation was delivered because of him. There's no excuse for excuses. The word excuse, by definition, that which justifies a fault. That which justifies a fault. What excuse are you using today to justify your faults? I don't think anybody in here has leprosy. I've heard some coughs and sneezes, so maybe COVID. I don't know. But Naaman had leprosy, and he didn't use it as an excuse. What excuse do you use to justify your faults? Maybe it's your behavior. I was reading this morning when the college days kids were here. We have visitors here today, so I haven't slept in 36 hours. We had college days a few weeks ago, and a couple of college days kids wrote on their survey when we asked them what they thought of chapel. Most of them, you know, the spirit was great, chapel was unbelievable, but a couple of them wrote something that really bothered me. I wish your students behaved a little better. What excuse justifies your behavior in chapel? Why is it okay to wear shades and a pointy hat in chapel? That's not okay. What excuse justifies that? What excuse justifies that you don't sing the congregational songs, no matter how many times we plead? What excuse justifies that you'll sit out there and drink a coffee, even though you know it's against the rules? What excuse justifies moving chairs and rearranging the furniture and not putting them back when you're done, full well knowing that some young lady's going to come in here this afternoon and clean up after you? What excuse justifies your behavior? Naaman had leprosy, and he didn't use it as an excuse. What excuse do you use? What excuse justifies laziness? Not going to work, not making your bed, not getting up and going to class on time, over-absencing your 8 o'clock class because you're just too tired to get out of bed and go to class. What excuse justifies that? I would imagine that Naaman had a hard time sleeping at night. But he was a great man with his master. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor, and because of him, the entire nation was delivered. But we are just too tired to go to class. What excuse justifies dishonesty? What excuse justifies being late all the time? I mean, I sit up here on the platform 3 days a week, and it's like the same people come in late every day. And, you know, staff members, we're kind of in the same boat. The same people come in late every day. What excuse justifies that? Naaman had leprosy, and he didn't use it as an excuse. What excuse justifies being on the financial withdrawal list every month? Every month, some of you. I mean, girls, if I was dating a guy who was on the... First of all, I wouldn't date a guy. Write that down. But if my boyfriend was on the financial withdrawal list every month and he couldn't come up with, what was the payment plan, Brother Rob? $900 a month? He couldn't come up with that. How do you think he's going to pay a mortgage? How do you think he's going to pay car insurance? I wish the only bill I had was $900 a month. Can you imagine? Woo, I'd be living high. I'd be going to Hawaii a lot more often. But I'm serious about it, though. I mean, what excuse? We live in Northwest Indiana, one of the best job markets in America. Anywhere in the country is in the Chicagoland area, one of the top job markets. What excuse do you have that justifies being on the financial withdrawal list every month? I don't get it. I would dump him that fast. Because if he can't pay his college bill, he's not going to pay for you or your children. I'm not kidding now, I'm serious. And I haven't slept for 36 hours. What excuse do you use to justify it? Naaman had leprosy, and he was honorable. Naaman had leprosy, and he was a great man with his master. Naaman had leprosy, and he was a great leader, somebody who people wanted to follow. Naaman had leprosy, and he was a mighty man of valor. He had leprosy, and an entire nation was delivered because of him. But we make excuses for the cushy life we live. There's a city, town, a village, state, Sunday school classroom, a Christian school room, a church, a mission field, an elderly person, a child, a youth group with your name on it, waiting for you to come deliver them. But we make excuses. I'm not going to make enough money. I'm not going to live in a nice enough house. I'm not going to be able to drive a nice car. I don't get the newest cell phone. I don't get to hang out with my friends. Excuses. There's no excuse for excuses. Naaman had leprosy, and it didn't stop him. But we make excuses. And people go to hell. And towns go without a church. And churches go without a pastor. And classrooms go without a teacher. And bus routes go without a captain. And buses go without a driver. And Sunday school departments go without a lady worker. Because we make excuses. What excuse do you use that justifies your fault? Because of Naaman, an entire nation was delivered. When the history books are written, what will they say happened because of you? Because of you, this person's in heaven today. Or, because of you, this person's not. Because of you, this church was built in this town, in this mission field. Or, because of you, it's not. The group sang a song I'd never heard before today. Lord, change the world and let it start with me. Because of Brian Rice, Edmonton is a different place. I've been there and seen it with my own eyes. What will they say about you? Oh, he was tired. He couldn't keep a job. But he played volleyball on Thursday nights. She could sing really nice, but she wouldn't work a bus route. And she wouldn't get involved in ministry, and she didn't clean her room, and every once in a while she'd show up to class. What excuse? That which justifies a fault. What excuse do you use to justify your fault? We all have them. My football coach used to say, excuses are for losers, results are for winners. We all make excuses sometimes. We're human. Naaman had leprosy. And it was the last thing mentioned on the list. Because Naaman was a great leader. He was a great follower. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor. And in spite of his leprosy, an entire nation was delivered because of him. What will be done because of you? Let's pray. Father, we don't deserve you. We don't deserve to be used. We don't deserve to have opportunities to minister. We don't deserve to represent you in this world. But help us to live worthy with no excuse. We live in the United States of America, the most wealthy and favored nation on earth. We have no excuse to not be a mighty man of valor. We have no excuse to not be honorable, to be a good follower of our master, and to be a good leader of our followers. We have no excuse. Lord, help us to lay down our excuses, put them at the end of the list, so that someday, somebody, somewhere can be delivered because of me.